tweet us at 99.3 ESPN Radio. We might even tweet you back. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Scheman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. We don't hear a lot of Michael Jackson bump music on this show very often. Remember the time.
Yeah, he's a little divisive. I try to not be divisive, but, you know.
No. So remember the time. Remember the time when July 1st meant NBA free agency. It meant nice summer with the beaches open all the time.
Hot dog eating contest just a few days away.
Yeah.
Oh, that's still the case.
They are having it, right? But it's indoors and no fans.
Yeah, it's a virtual one.
Virtual. All right. I wonder if they'll have as many participants, if Joey Chestnut.
They do not. They do not have as many participants. It's why Joey Chestnut is predicting that he will break the 74 hot dog record.
Because they'll get better quality
hot
dogs?
He's saying it's going to be better quality. It's going to be prepared better. Also, indoors, he's saying, is better for competitive eating than outdoors. I don't know if that's the heat and the humidity doesn't get to you.
Yeah.
It's more of a controlled environment. But Joey Chestnut says bet the over on 74.5 hot dogs.
Is that available on our
I don't know.
I don't know if it is or not. I heard yesterday Vegas, one of the sports books in Vegas, made a mistake that they had some long shot odds of Cam Newton being the MVP, and they didn't update it quickly enough once he signed with the Patriots, and the bet was still out there. Like, I want to say $100 would get you $30,000 if Cam wins the MVP with the Patriots.
Solid.
Yeah, so and people got in on that action. You can't now. It's
obvious. Well, you can get in on it. The odds have just changed.
Yeah, now you only win like 300, get you 300 or 3,000 or something like that. I did look it up last night out of curiosity.
I think 3,000. 30 to 1 sounds 3 to 1. That's not it.
No, it's not 3 to 1. So anyway, there's that. I know you have some interest in not one, not two, but three soccer games going on today.
How are we doing here? I'm 2-0 after my first two legs of a three game parlay.
Oh, a good start.
Good start. Now I just need a W from Chelsea, and there you have it. I was thinking about hedging, but I don't need to.
No.
I feel good. Feel solid. Feel strong on this one.
Is Chelsea, what, a 3:15?
Yeah, they're at 3:15. They play, I believe it's West Ham United.
What do we know about West Ham?
They're not very good. They're not very good, and Chelsea has been playing really well since coming back from their long break.
All right, you've just convinced me. I'm going to do this on the air without really doing it on
the
air.
Hold on. The only reason I got value is because I have Chelsea winning just on the money line. It's like minus 220.
Really?
Yes.
What's the points?
It was like a goal and a half, I want to say. It was not a small number.
Really?
Yeah. Which I think they'll win by a big number. I just wasn't willing to put my, shekels where my mouth is.
Right. And as I speak, this must be a sign from God. I'm having trouble getting in. All right, maybe I just sit this
one out. There you go. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't lose when you do that.
Sometimes the best ones are the ones you don't do. Oh, man. All right, I want to finish up on some sound from Sound Street we can get to that has to do with the NFL. Again, if you're just tuning in, Pete wasn't feeling well, so we shipped him the hell out of here. So hopefully he'll be better. So anyway, let's take a look. NFL. And again, training camps are supposed to start 4 weeks from today, people. Now, we already know we're not going to have the Hall of Fame game. There's rumors that we're going to cut down the first two preseason games, but that's not been made official yet. But we still think we're all steam ahead or whatever the saying is. Here is Ryan Clark on First Take. So Cam Newton and the New England Patriots can both handle the spotlight.
I've been saying since the beginning of the offseason or since Cam Newton was released that he needed to go to the New England Patriots, but more so, the New England Patriots needed him. because they haven't improved on the outside. They needed someone that can add a different dimension to this offense, and Cam Newton can do that. The other thing that he can do is, one, being a Heisman Trophy winner. Two, being the number one overall pick, offensive rookie of the year, being an MVP. He has had the spotlight on him forever. He's had the spotlight on him since he touched the football at Auburn. It won't be a spotlight too big playing behind Tom Brady or replacing Tom Brady. Cam Newton is in a perfect place to revive his career.
All right. Like I said, low risk, high reward for the Patriots. Cam Newton's got to come back somewhere. I really thought he would wait and come back with a team that maybe had an injury and a pressing need at quarterback instead of signing for the league minimum. I thought he was one of these guys that would just scoff at a Jameis Winston-type deal. But apparently he wants in. And I also wonder if it were anybody but the Patriots. You know, I still think there's some mindset in the league that guys are like, well, it's the Patriots. Maybe I'll take less to go. But, I mean, you know, Tom Brady's not there anymore. But I think in the past, some guys would go there, take a little less money because it's the Patriots, and you get to add a ring to your resume while you make your money elsewhere.
Yeah, a lot of those guys, you know, that went on the discount.
Yeah.
Most of those guys didn't work out, though. But it didn't hamper the franchise moving forward because there are these deals like what Cam just signed.
Yeah.
1 year. Sometimes New England, they're known for putting a team option on a second year. So if you overperform, they've got your rights. I'm sure Cam had a little bit of leverage here where he didn't want to sign anything like that away.
Yeah.
But, you know, if Cam doesn't work out for the Pats this year, they go into 2021 saying no difference. There's no lingering cap hit that they're going to take, nothing along those lines.
And I think they're in a much better cap space situation next year than they are this year. I think it improved significantly.
This year they were in a pretty tough spot.
They had $700,000 left right now to sign Cam.
Yeah, they did not have a lot of money.
No, they're up against it.
So is where Cam, if he wanted to be in New England,
they could pay him next year.
Yeah, they could pay him next year.
Yeah.
But next year, like what we've talked about, next year it feels like the Pats are going to have to pay a quarterback. Is it Cam? If he has a great year, but then you're paying him, I mean, you're paying a 32-year-old, I want to say. Cam will be 32, I think.
You're still getting Stidham for nothing.
Yeah, but Stidham's going into he was a rookie last year. He's going into year two, and remember, he's not a first-round pick, so he doesn't have that team option for a fifth year. So he's locked up for another three seasons. I think by the end of this year, if you're New England, you've got to have a pretty good idea of what your quarterback looks like for the next 5 years. Is it Jared Stidham or is it Cam Newton?
But then everybody say, hey, by year three on these young quarterbacks, you got to figure out, like Baker Mayfield on the clock, Josh Donald, they're all on the clock right now. You're losing year two with Jared Stidham potentially. And then you go into his third year,
Where Stidham is really different from a lot of these other guys that go in the first round. Like I said, it's that fifth year option. It's why the Ravens moving up a couple drafts ago just to get to number 32 to take Lamar Jackson.
Yeah,
it gives them an entire year, extra year to figure out what they're going to pay him.
Right,
but figure out how to make it work, and you get an additional year with that quarterback on that rookie deal where you can pay everybody else. It's why the Ravens can go out and they can sign a guy like an Earl Thomas to play alongside. They can go out and they can sign Mark Ingram to go out and play alongside Lamar Jackson. When your quarterback's eating up such a big percentage of your salary cap, you don't have that luxury anymore.
Now, I've said the Patriots have a lot of salary cap room next year, but that's as if things stand the way they are now. The revenue's all screwed up. I don't know what the cap's going to look like next year. I mean, right now, they're supposed to have like $90 million freed up next year. But if we don't have fans in the stands and we have a goofy year or shortened season, that's going to affect how much money's available. You know, I don't know if they're going to be so comfortable above the cap. Who knows? Nobody knows.
It's why I don't think it will ever get to this point. But the first player to say, okay, I'm not signing for a dollar amount.
Right.
I'm going to sign for 12% of whatever the salary cap is. I've always wondered why that doesn't happen. Now you're at risk for years like this where maybe the salary cap decreases a little bit and then your money's going down. But I think that would help a lot of teams. If Patrick Mahomes just went to the Kansas City Chiefs and said, look, let's sign a long-term deal, right? 6-7 years, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Just guarantee me 16% of the salary cap.
Right.
At that point, I'm good. Or 17% of the salary cap.
Yeah.
That way, you know, you've got, you know, 83% of your salary cap to play with, everybody not named Patrick Mahomes.
Now, in other than non-pandemic years, is there a way Patrick Mahomes could get screwed doing that? What am I not thinking about? Because I'd be that guy. I'd be like, all right, I'm sweet. Just give me the percentage, and then there'd be some loophole.
Well, I don't know how signing bonuses would work at that point yeah. and how you could structure, you know, maybe 1 year you're worth 25% of the salary cap. The following year you're worth 12% of the salary cap. I don't know how the specifics would work.
Yeah.
It's just always intriguing me to think, would there ever be a guy that would just say, I don't care about the, not that I don't care about the dollar amount, but let's just work off percentages of the salary cap.
It's like an actor that does a low budget film, but does the percentage, and then it just blows up.
And it blows up, right.
And he ends up making like $100 million off the deal. It's happened. It's happened before. More sound. Here's Diana Rossini. She says she spoke to an AFC East head coach. I'm going to assume it was not Bill Belichick, so it was probably, well, you only got three others to choose from. They said, look, don't necessarily declare Cam Newton a week one starter. This was on Get Up.
I did talk to a head coach in the division over text message about specifically what he expects from the New England Patriots, and I want to make sure I get this right, because right now, this entire show has declared Cam Newton as being the starter week one, right? But yeah. A head coach in the division has said, I think they're going to keep three quarterbacks, use Cam Newton as perhaps the wild card. I actually don't see him starting week one in this offense. I could be wrong, but I know one thing for a fact, and that's the New England Patriots love Jarrett Stidham. So I think that's just really good perspective concerning the fact that I think everyone just assumes, because what Cam Newton has done in the past, and we know how talented he is when he's healthy, but those in the division, at least this one head coach, doesn't fully expect Cam to be the starter week one.
Look, this is very simple. If he's healthy, the foot, the Lisfranc, and the shoulder are healthy, he's the starter week one. No question in my mind. None. But if he's still nursing it, still, you know, not feeling well, and you're going into a shortened camp situation or whatever with fewer games, then maybe not. Maybe not. All right.
Sounds like Brian Flores, does it not?
It could be, because he's got ties to the Patriots.
Ties to the Patriots, where Adam Gase and McDermott don't really have any ties to the Patriots organization.
And Adam Gase doesn't have a clue about quarterbacks anyway.
No, he does not.
So I wouldn't even call him if I'm Diana Rossini. So that pretty much limits your, we got it down to two guys. I was largely distracted during that soundbite. I'm watching your next little soccer game here on, and they're doing the starting introductions, which I don't know why, because there's no fans there. What's with the bubble machine?
So that's kind of, you know how Miami, the U comes out in the smoke?
Yeah.
That's kind of their thing. West Ham, they always come out in bubbles.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know the origins of it, but I know that that's how they've done it since I've started watching Premier League
and it's
soccer.
Just West Ham.
Just West Ham, they come out and there are bubbles. So a lot like the U comes out with the smoke. Now, the bubbles are a lot less intimidating than the smoke of the U.
The smoke is cool and scary a little bit. The bubbles are not. It's not putting a fear into anybody.
No, it's not, but it's what they do. I don't know. I'm sure that there's a backstory to it,
yeah.
But I don't know it, so I can't tell you. I just know that they've always come out and they've always had the bubble machine going.
That's remarkable. Okay. All right. Very good. Let's see here. On to college football. Oh, I did have one other note on the NFL, since we were just talking about them a moment ago. Bill Cowher has announced that he has come out positive for Corona. He's over it now. He's better. But he and his wife were traveling around, a lot of traveling, I think over in Asia, coming through Hawaii. Then they were in New York and going out to the restaurants when all this was just starting to get going. He and his wife both were sick. They did not get tested at the time. And then later afterward, they were pretty sure, I think we had it. They got tested for the antibodies, and they did have them. But they're fine now. They've recovered after a few sluggish days earlier in this pandemic. Now,
920 wants to know if they come out skipping with their bubbles. No, they don't.
It seems so little league-ish. This is what you do with children.
I'll look up the origins of it during a break.
All right.
And I'll try to have an answer.
All right. The bubble room.
Because, yeah, it makes no sense. I'm missing the – last night was the first night where I ran out of bubble room cake at my house.
The leftovers.
And I was
weekend?
Missing it. I was really missing it.
See, sugar's funny that way. You start doing it, then your body starts craving it that same time every day. I'm a mess. I mean, it's so hard for me to stay away from that stuff. And that's what was happening to you. You had that sugar fix that you were missing out.
Yeah.
So what'd you do instead? Chris, you didn't drink last night on your usual Tuesday night binge, and you didn't have any dessert. That's two.
I know.
I'd be getting the shakes.
I drank water, and I did have a little bit of sugar. Little bit of sugar.
Any good?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I was in the mood for something sweet. We didn't have any ice cream at the house.
Yeah.
But we do have chocolate chips at the house. So
just the chips, not the cookies. Chocolate chips.
Yeah, just the
right.
chips.
I eat those by the handful all the time.
Well, I've done that. I've been known to do that as well.
Sure.
But I looked over and I saw, you know, we had some chocolate syrup, and looked down and we had a fresh tub of peanut butter and a new pack of tortillas. So I spread the peanut butter on the tortilla, chocolate chips in the peanut butter.
Yeah.
Little chocolate drizzle on top of it.
Nice.
And a little sweet roll up is what it was.
Nice. My wife just flat out looked at me at about 7 o'clock last night and says, "What flavor ice cream are you getting at the store?" Cause she literally kicked me out of the house. So I went and got some Ben and Jerry's last night. No, I bought two small cartons. I got the Ben and Jerry's. I love the coffee toffee. Oh, love it with the big chunks of toffee in it. And then I got a Baskin Robbins peanut butter chocolate.
Oh,
same
yeah.
kind of combo
yeah,
you had
yeah.
there. And it was
yours
delightful.
Was probably better.
It was all right. It was good. There's no doubt about it.
Now the little Ben and Jerry's one.
Yeah. Just as expensive as the big ones.
Ben and Jerry's, sorry.
Yeah.
But that's is that a one-seater or a two-seater for you?
That's a one. That's
polish
a, that's
it off
a
in one
single serving
sitting.
Size for $6. Yeah. I mean, I might have shared some or have somebody have a scoop. But, yeah, those are single serving size as far as I'm concerned. And you know what? I always fool myself. I get out the smaller bowl, and I only scoop out half. But I know I'm coming back 10 minutes later.
Oh, you don't just put the paper towel on the carton and just take it straight to the couch? Because that's my move.
I have.
That's me. That's me planting my flag in. This is my ice cream bin.
Yeah.
Nobody's touching it.
Yeah, I've done that thousands of times. But as you know, Chris, I've lost a lot of weight recently. And I'm trying to keep it down. So I said, all right, I'll just have half.
So you lie to yourself instead.
I psych myself out. It's absolutely ridiculous. So anyway, that's what I did. I have one other question. And maybe you know the answer to this. Speaking of Bill Cowher. So I remember at the end of his coaching career and beginning of his broadcast career, I remember his wife passed away, had cancer or something like that, and she died. It says here he and his wife. Now, so he's remarried, and he's remarried Veronica Stegeller, who is a singer known as Queen V. Do we know who this is?
I do not.
Is she a nightclub lounge act that nobody's heard of? Does she actually have records, nominated for Grammys, anything like that? Yeah.
What's her name?
Lauren Steinberg?
No, Lauren Steinberg is married to Ted Danson, I believe. Veronica Stegeller, Stigeller. But her on-stage name is Queen V. That can mean a lot of things, too.
No, I've never seen her.
Nothing coming up?
Yeah, don't Google Queen V.
Yeah, not at work anyway,
not
right?
Not going to come back what you think. yeah.
All right.
I've never seen her, but...
No, apparently he's married now.
It's all right.
And the other...
I don't know everyone.
No, you can't. You can't know everybody. And the only other NFL note of worth... I mentioned yesterday that Ron Rivera was finally asked. He's been the head coach of the Redskins for several months now, and yet he's never been asked about until this week about changing the Redskins name. And his quote was, well, the time isn't now. I think he was alluding to with everything else going on right now. He says the time will come to do that. And, of course, he doesn't want to come out and contradict his team owner. Daniel Snyder has been adamant about keeping the name and keeping the history. And Ron Rivera even kind of said something about the history. He goes, it's always been the Redskins. It's ever since I was a kid. Well, Tony Dungy was asked about that today. And Tony Dungy said, no, if there is ever a time to do it, it's now. And he says, it's not hard to change. In fact, Tony Dungy, and I haven't noticed that he's done this, but he will not say Redskins on the air when he's doing a Sunday night thing. He's always referred to them as the Washington football team. So anyway, that's everything that's going on in the NFL.
Well, but that is a tough spot for Ron Rivera to be put in. I mean, that
right.
It's not fair.
Right.
I mean, he should be able to say what he wants, but the fact is the guy who employs him, the guy who pays him,
right,
has been pretty – we know where he stands on this issue. And I'm not telling anybody how to feel about that. You
right.
say the name if you want. You don't if you don't. I've tried to kind of get it out of my lexicon.
Yeah.
But I say it. And it's almost like after I say it, I'm like, oh, well, you know, I'll try again.
I haven't made any effort to do so, and maybe I should. But, I mean, they've just been the Redskins my whole life. That's it's hard to – but, you know.
And we've talked about it. What do you change it to? Do you just change it to the Reds and just call it a day?
Oh, didn't think about that.
You know.
The Washington Reds.
Change it to the Skins.
I think you go with a safer name. That has to do with the Capitol, the Senators, I don't know, something. Congressmen.
Because that's what Syracuse did, right? They were the Orange Men.
Yeah.
Now they're just the Orange. And it's literally an orange.
What is a Red? When you say the Reds, I think of the baseball team, and I just think of a baseball, and that's it, because that's their logo.
What's Cincinnati a Packer? Reds.
A meat packer, the meat packing plant where they make sausages. It actually is a thing.
You're kidding me.
No.
Who knew?
You know, the Detroit Pistons, they make automobiles, pistons.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've had this conversation, though.
India Pacers, pace car, 8500.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get it. I don't know.
Any others that need to be explained? Like, I can't tell you why the Rams are the Los Angeles, you know, the Los Angeles Rams.
Well, were they because they started in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah.
But why the Rams?
Yeah, I don't know. It makes no sense to me.
So. Yeah, the Washington Pigskins.
Do you want
that could work?
Do you want the name Pig?
Well, they were known as the Hogs. That was their offensive line nickname for years. I think it actually kind of works.
And their coach Joe Bugle just died yesterday at the age of like 90. We failed to mention that, but
I like that one.
The Pigskins.
Who did that?
Skinamax.
Skinamax. The Washington Pigskins. I kind of like that.
Wow. Herbie Hancock says, wait a minute, the Redskins play on Sunday night? Well, not too often.
No, they don't. What if Dwayne Haskins works out? You never know.
Yeah.
And they'll get a few games.
That'll be good.
The NFL wants them to be good.
Right.
It's one of those markets where they're like, this would be nice to have one of our classic teams, you know, competitive.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens there. All right, that's the latest on the NFL. When we come back, I want to talk some college football and some doom and gloomers out there as to whether we really play college football. We'll hear from Paul Feinbaum and Laura Rutledge as well.
I've got a list.
And you've got a list?
I got a college football list.
It was an SEC? Or what?
It is. So on this date in history, Texas A&M in Missouri officially moved to the SEC. So I have each team's regular season football record since 2012.
Okay.
Rank them 1 to 14.
We'll see how they do. So it's not a quiz. It's a list.
I can make it a quiz if you want to start at the bottom and go to the top.
I feel like I got enough on my plate today. I don't want to have to think. I'd
Perfect.
Rather hear a list than
we'll make
come
it a
up
list.
With a quiz.
We'll make it a list.
All right. So we got that coming up. Stay with us. It's Sheeman and Shepherd. Don't forget, if you miss any of the program, we have Sheeman and Shepherd on demand. It's available on the 99.3 ESPN app, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcast. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Facebook has turned into a platform where anyone can spew nonsense. Sounds like these guys. Like our Facebook page, 99.3 ESPN Radio. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. How are you on this hump day Wednesday, which really feels like a Thursday because we're off on Friday and it's a 4-day work week and the 4th of July. It's going to be a 4th of July like no other. It's going to be quiet. Not going to be fireworks. People are going to be social distancing. beaches are going to be closed partially, at least in Collier County and Naples. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not feeling the same sort of enthusiasm for the 4th of July that I normally do. One of my favorite holidays of the year. Pete Shepard not here. He wasn't feeling well. We sent him home.
All fireworks shows, and they've all been canceled, right?
I think every one of them's
been everything canceled. That's put on, you know, by a city or a county,
right,
or
right,
a big firework display.
And there are none allowed in my HOA, so there won't be any firing off going in my neighborhood.
Oh, that's too bad.
It's all right.
I might stop by a stand.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. We had
nothing too big. Hoosker don'ts.
In Texas, 4th of July, New Year's Eve, I mean, all the fireworks show in my neighborhood was as good as it, because people bought professional fireworks and would be shooting them off from there.
They drive to South Carolina?
No, in Texas you can get them. Well.
Oh, I've heard South Carolina, they've got the loosest restrictions on what can be sold to the public.
There's a place called just south of the border, and that's what they're called, and you see those signs in North Carolina as you're coming into South Carolina. Yeah, you're right. You can get yourself some fireworks.
You can get a lot in South Carolina.
South Carolina. And you can in Texas, too. But in Texas, it was so it went to like 2, 3 a.m. And I would wake up the next morning, whether it be on the 5th of July or January 1st, and you'd have all these leftovers of fireworks that were shot in the air. They'd all be in the yard. They'd be on my roof. Everything, just in the pool, everywhere. I was always worried that one of those things would come down hot and land on my roof, and then the house go up in flames. This kind of things happen. But anyway.
Oh, 941 says Northport is still having their 4th of July fireworks.
Northport, that's north of here.
Charlotte County.
Yeah. Right.
You know that stretch of nothing on I-75?
Yeah.
Northport.
Yeah, right. Not quite Sarasota.
Right. You're not to Sarasota yet, but you're past Port Charlotte and all that.
Yeah.
Yes.
So if you want to drive all the way up there.
There you go.
Go catch some fireworks. And then drive back.
Oh, and 239 says Collier County Fairgrounds will be having a fireworks show as well. Again, we have not confirmed any of this. This is just what's being texted in.
Right. Well, I know the city of Naples is not. I don't believe they're having theirs. So anyway. Oh, and speaking of neighbors and all that, you know, my problem neighbors across the pond.
Oh, the loud ones, huh?
The loud ones up until 2 a.m., kids swim until 1:30. Sometimes they were still up at 4 a.m. out there, and they just talk nonstop.
Yeah, that's what happens when you drink.
I think it was more than drinking.
What do you think it was?
Well, whatever you would need to put in your body to keep going, like, for example, the morning they were out there till 4:30.
Like an energy drink.
They were back out there at 9 a.m. You know?
Wow.
That is, yeah, well. Anyway, they're gone. I was told that they basically got kicked out of my neighborhood because they were renters. So, see ya. Won't miss ya. And I was a little worried because it was like the day before. And it didn't look like anything was packed up. And everything was business as usual. Still making noise till midnight.
Now, were they the renters or owners?
They were renters. They got kicked out.
Okay.
Whoever the owner of the house was
kicked
told
them
you,
out.
You can't. They got to be out by, you know,
wow.
Yes, the 30th.
So do you think you're responsible for a family with young children being removed?
No, I don't. Because we didn't really complain about them until the 4 a.m. job. And that was like 2 weeks ago. And we were informed by the HOA, don't worry about it. Two more weeks. There have been so many other complaints from all the other neighbors that they're gone. And sure enough, boom, gonzo. Man, I'm always amazed. Look, I know you got to live your lives. I know people. Look, I know dogs bark. I know people make noise. You can hear them. People live. I get it. But at some point, you have to have some self-awareness of what you may be sounding like to your neighbors around you who may want to be sleeping at 1:30 in the morning and your kids are out there screaming and splashing in the pool.
No, I agree with that largely, but I wasn't there, so I don't know.
I personally would be so afraid of upsetting neighbors for having my kids loud at 1:30 in the morning that I would say, all right, kids, pipe down.
I got in trouble a couple times, like during the summer months, for playing basketball out in our driveway too late. And when I say too late, I mean we were playing basketball till like 1 a.m.
When you were a kid?
Yeah. I mean, you know, preteen right there where you can stay up late, but you got nothing to do.
Extra smart on the smart ass.
Like that age. Exactly. Okay, yeah. So, you know, a couple neighbors call, and but it stopped pretty shortly after.
Yeah.
We didn't keep playing into the night.
Right. So. Did you win?
Don't remember.
Because usually if you're going till 1:30 in the morning, you got something special going on.
Oh, we had a solid group of kids in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
All within, I was like the second oldest, I want to say. Christian Pulisic. but we had like six of us that were within 2 years of each other.
Yeah.
And man, those basketball games would get heated.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You get to the point where you hate your friends. Hate them.
Really? That bad?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes. And you.
We had one of the most epic basketball. That's what we did. We played basketball all the time after school. And we had these great 3-on-3, 2-on-2. We go like travel to some other kid's neighborhood and play there one day and then come back and play in another. It was awesome. And it carried down to here to spring break at Sanibel Island because one of the condos had a basketball court. Nice one, too.
Not the double rim stuff. It was a real rim where you could shoot and make it, actually.
Yeah, it was good stuff. So it was me and my buddies against the jocks down here at spring break. And, oh, we smoked them. Smoked them. In fact, this had been the trash talking. We'd go on for like 3 days. It was like high noon, right off the beach on Sanibel. We're playing. And right as I'm getting ready to gather some of my friends who are staying down here to go walk over there and play and show up, my mom and dad and my brother pop out of the condo. They go, hey, we just rented a boat over on Captiva. Let's go. And you know how much I love boating.
Yeah.
I said, Ma.
Can't do it.
I got a game. She looked at me like I had three heads. What do you mean you got a game? We're going boat. We just spent $500 on a boat. Mom, it's the game. I got to go.
I got a hoop.
We got a hoop.
I got a ball.
And we won.
Just coming across Twitter, Fort Myers Beach will stay open for the 4th of July.
All right.
Town council just ended their meeting.
Say hi to all the Miami people that are going to come.
Masks will be mandatory indoors and in crowds. Now, I haven't been able to find out what constitutes a crowd.
Yeah.
Effective at midnight, individuals could face a $50 fine. Businesses could face a $500 fine for not enforcing.
Now, you told me there was a restaurant at Captiva this weekend that had masks mandatory.
Yeah, Mucky Duck.
How does that work when you're eating? Like, you've got to be sitting at your table wearing a mask, but when the food arrives, what happens?
So, I don't know. I was actually, this was on last Friday, and I'm just sitting watching NBC2 in the morning, and it actually, because my plan was to go to the Mucky Duck for dinner on Friday night.
One of my favorite places.
And I love the place.
Yeah.
And came across on the scroll, you know, Mucky Duck customers required to wear a mask indoors.
Okay.
So at that point I said, okay, we gotta change it up here.
You're right.
By the way, delicious dinner at the Mad Hatter.
All right.
Delicious dinner at the Mad Hatter.
Nice.
Not as big as I thought. Yeah. But anyway, I digress. So I don't know how long you had to keep the mask on.
Right.
Because I didn't go.
I mean, at some point you gotta take it off to put a fork in your pie hole.
You would think.
Huh.
You would think.
All right. Well, if anybody knows how that works, let me know. And then you put it back on when you're done eating. I don't know. I don't know how it works. You know, in quaint places like the Mucky Duck, it's not a large place. You know, a lot crammed in there. And are we still doing 50% capacity? What phase are we in? I don't go out that much. So
we're
I don't
in
know.
Two. And honestly, I don't go out that much either.
Yeah.
I'm more out with, you know, family and stuff. Not really doing restaurants, although I will tonight.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not sure.
Very interesting. All right. Coming up, I want to get into a little bit of college football. I saw something earlier today that I thought was interesting. We may tackle that since Pete left. The top 25 teams, this is on ESPN.com, the most important game of the season. We may or may not. I don't know. I'm still spitballing whether to do that or not. For one, we may not have a college football season. It might be a moot point before long. There seem to be some more doom and gloomers regarding whether we're going to play a college football season, and I got some anecdotes to back that up as well. And we got Laura Rutledge and Paul Feinbaum checking in on that. You know, we got time for that. I want to hear from them first. And then I know, Chris, next segment, you're going to have a college football list for us as well. Here is Laura Rutledge on Golic and Wingo talking about the college football taking a wait-and-see approach with COVID-19 and whether they could play.
They've got so many scenarios, it's probably, and contingency plans, it's probably hard to keep track of which one is which at this point. I would say even in the SEC, and Greg Sankey has been on record saying this, he might have said this to you guys, they've got 15 to 20 contingency plans just right now that they're operating with. I think spring is still a kind of worst case scenario, but still could get the season in type deal, and a lot of that has to do with some of the fiscal responsibilities. So it's out there, it could maybe happen, but I think the more likely thing would be, if we see the season push back, would be to see it push back, but sometime still in the fall. The hesitancy there is that they're trying to get in as many games as possible. So do they push it back and then there's an additional outbreak or something like that? And that's where I think, you know, at some point you're going to see some of these leagues just say, all right, let's just, as long as we think we can be as healthy and as safe as possible, let's just go ahead and try this and see what happens, which is, I mean, I hate to sound flippant, but that's just the way that they're looking at it, you know, and I think that's a real possibility.
So after that long soundbite by Laura Rose, we know nothing. She's got, we got 20 different plans. Any one of them's up in the air.
It's like what we talked about yesterday. You've got the Ivy League, which I know that it doesn't really affect big time college football, but you've got the Ivy League saying, you know, they've got three courses of action.
Yeah.
The course that they're on right now, right. Regular season in the fall, non-conference, all that, play exclusively a conference schedule in the fall, or just push the whole thing back and play a conference schedule in the spring.
Yes.
And I think every conference should be working on those three plans as well.
Well, they're going to make their announcement Wednesday. So you'll have that next week.
Yeah, yes. Next Wednesday. Yep.
So I won't be here, but you'll have that to talk about. Paul Feinbaum on Golic and Wingo this morning. Finny, he says right now, in his opinion, it's 50-50 whether the college football season starts on time.
Yeah, I think for the first time we're probably at about 50% to start the season on time. And, you know, finishing it is – I think it goes below that. But these are numbers that were a month ago. I thought it was 100%. I mean, that's how confident I was. So these numbers are slipping. And I think if you're with if I happen to be with you in a week or two, the numbers are going to go down. I mean, right now it's a little hard to predict what's ahead. But I just want to hear an honest portrayal from someone in intercollegiate athletics. And I have yet to hear that in the 3 months that we've been having this conversation.
As Paul Feinbaum, I don't know if you caught what he said there. He goes, hey, not so sure if it starts on time. And then the percentages go down on finishing the season, in his opinion. And again, all these schools redid their schedules so that students could be done by Thanksgiving, trying to avoid that quote-unquote second wave. If that's the second wave, I don't know what we're going through right now.
Well, college football is done by Thanksgiving, you know, it's the
regular season usually.
It's the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And at that point, if campuses are clear, you figure now you're working with a bubble.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. Some texts coming in on a myriad of topics. Green Falcon saying, Chris, thanks for disparaging my town. Northport is all or mostly all Sarasota County. I would know. I'm the most southern part, and I'm closer to Port Charlotte than Northport.
Oh, okay. All not right. Disparaging, just saying there's not a lot in Northport.
Spanish Mel says Bonita Springs is having drive-in fireworks and a laser light show. Delightful. And let's see here. Wig says my girl Gina works there. I think at the Monkey Duck. I think that's about the time that text came in. And Facepalm says, so Craig vacationed on Sanibel, rented boats on Captiva. My family went camping in a canvas tent. Sorry, Facepalm. Okay, hitting 239 says, all right, if the restaurant says you got to wear a mask, you got to wear a mask until you're seated at the table.
Okay.
Seems reasonable.
It seems fine.
All right.
I'm okay doing that.
Yeah, let's see here. Garlic Cake says, I just got in the car, but I'm upset that they keep saying the Raptors are working out in Fort Myers instead of Florida Gulf Coast University or Dunk City. It's a sterile, right? I mean, is that what he's complaining about?
No, he wants him to say FGCU. Get FGCU some free pub.
Oh, okay. So every time you turn on the news, you hear it's in Fort Myers, but not okay. That's something like that.
Which I keep emailing the PR lady over there.
Yeah,
you hear me, Ashley?
Ashley, the PR
We'd
lady. We'd
love
the
to have
Raptors.
Coach Nurse on with us.
Yes. Well,
I think she lives in Toronto, but neither here nor there. Maybe she's listening.
Well, if there was ever a time that a PR person could mail it in, it's now.
I mean, now.
You just say, oh, I never got it. Or I got coronavirus.
I got hit with the line of because requests are so high at the moment.
Are they really?
Are they? I didn't email that back, but it's like, okay.
Although they are the world champions.
You want to just give me a line?
Yeah.
Give me a line,
I guess. Exactly. All right. You, in lieu of Pete Shepard, you have a college football list for us when we
yes.
come back. And then we'll be to the 4 o'clock hour. We're going to have to tweak Wikipedia since Pete left.
Yeah, so don't look at
the
list.
I haven't looked at the list, actually. I have not.
I'm excited for today. So because it's Bobby Bonilla Day,
yes,
we have sports contract trivia.
Sports contract trivia.
Notable. Nothing too hard. I'm not going to ask you how much did Kobe sign for in 2008.
Right.
Nothing along those lines. These are notable notable contracts in sports history.
Okay.
So this will be fun, I think.
Like, is there a good A-Rod question in there or something, maybe?
There are a few questions around A-Rod. Nothing specific on Alex Rodriguez, though.
Is this going to have to be one of those topics where if you're not sure of such things as a listener and a participant, maybe sit this one out? Could we get bogged down on this a little bit? I mean, this is a great topic. Don't get me wrong.
It's difficult.
We're going to handicap this.
There's no doubt. It's one of the more difficult ones.
Okay.
And it spans all sports.
Okay.
There's football. Well, there's no hockey or no soccer. But there's football, baseball, and basketball on there.
All right. Very good. Port Charlotte Joe says, I just sent you $20, babe. And then, haha, sorry, guys. Wrong text. What can you send to babe? $20? How electronically?
Yeah, Venmo.
Oh, okay.
Or there's a couple different apps.
Well, now I want to know what the $20 is for. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Check out whatever ridiculous Twitter poll we're running at 99.3 ESPN Radio. Now it's Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN.
Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Pete was feeling under the weather, so he went home. It's me and Chris here today. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. I see they took a goal off the board with your little bubble team over here. You're watching on the soccer match.
Yeah, they did. It's a good thing.
What was it, West Ham? They come out with bubbles, literally a bubble machine on the starting lineups, and then apparently they do bubbles when they score goals.
Yeah.
Well, now they got you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. They had all these bubbles come out, and then they took the goal off the board.
So I figured out why they blow the bubbles before they walk out and when they score and stuff.
What happened?
There was a movie in the 1920s, and a song as well called I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles.
Yes.
And player Billy J. Bubbles Murray played for a local team, had a resemblance to the boy in the movie Bubbles, and it kind of took on a life of its own.
How long ago was this?
The 1920s.
So this tradition's been going on for 100 years.
Yeah.
Did we have movies in 1920s? I guess they were black and white.
The song well-known in England as the club anthem of West Ham, been adopted by West Ham supporters in the 1920s. So it was a song in the 20s.
All right.
There was a movie as well.
Okay. Now, why was this goal disregarded?
Offsides.
Oh, they're a stickler for that rule.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
All right. On to real sports. You have a college football list prepared today.
Yes, I do. So let me pull it up right here. I'm not like Pete Shepard. I actually print my stuff off. Okay.
I know. Yeah. Got it.
So on this date in 2012, Texas A&M and Missouri officially joined the SEC. Here is their regular season conference football records since expansion back in 2012.
All right.
And now, a list.
So each team has played 64 conference games in since 2012.
All right.
So starting at the bottom, Arkansas. 13-51 since 2012.
Okay.
Then next on the list is Vanderbilt, 19-45.
It's not a lot of wins over this time period, I gotta tell you.
No, I mean that's it's a lot of years. Yeah. 8, I think. next on the list is Kentucky, 20-44.
They were Pete's hot pick for a while, a couple of years, right?
Well, they had a good team a few years ago.
That's where they got most of their 20 wins.
Yeah, when they had Benny Snell, they had, what was it, Josh Allen, I think, was the pass rusher that they had.
Oh, yeah.
That was a pretty good team.
All right.
All right, next on the list, Tennessee, 22-42 in SEC play since 2012.
Wow, I remember.
Shocking.
I remember they used to be good.
Shocking that so low.
This is where Pete would chime in and say Tennessee had the most improbable comeback of all time against the Indiana Hoosiers in the bowl game.
But instead, you just chimed in with that bit of information.
Well, I got to pick up the
slack
for him. What happened?
Penalty, Chelsea.
Okay.
All right, next on the list is Ole Miss with a record. I didn't do them yet, did I?
No.
No, Ole Miss with a record of 25-39.
All right.
Then we get to our first new team since expansion back in 2012, Missouri.
Yeah.
30-34 in SEC conference play.
Wow. All right.
Now we get to Mississippi State.
Yes.
Actually, two teams tied at 31-33, Mississippi State and South Carolina.
South Carolina, go Gamecocks.
Now we get to the six teams that have a winning record in SEC play since 2012.
All right.
Only one team that kind of surprised me on this list.
Okay.
Auburn, 33-31.
They're barely over 500 in this stretch.
They surprised me. I thought they'd be higher.
Well, you know, they for a while they were good every other year.
Yeah.
Then they would have a down year and want to fire the coach and then have a good year. Go! Chesley.
Chelsea. All right. Next on the list, Texas A&M. 34-30 since coming into the SEC.
34-30 puts you in the
top five? Top five, yeah.
Four games above 500, you're in the top five. That's a little surprising.
So we're now in the top four, and Georgia has not yet been listed.
Okay, fine. I'll throw them a bone.
So seems that they got in the top four in something. All right, next on the list, the Florida Gators, 41-23 in SEC play since 2012.
Okay.
Next on the list is LSU, 44-20.
That's coming off their perfect year last year.
Yes, it is. Next on the list is Georgia.
Wow.
48-16.
Wow. That's impressive. I gotta tell you.
Yeah, it is. And then...
Oh, but one of those 16 is the South Carolina Gamecocks at home,
yeah.
And it cost them a chance to play for a national championship. Back.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And then top of the list is Alabama.
Alabama!
57-7 SEC play.
It's not even close.
It's not even close.
It's not even close, first to second. You get nine games better over that stretch. Wow. That's impressive.
Pretty interesting list there.
Very interesting. You know, look, I remember I was living in Texas the year that A&M joined the SEC, and I got to tell you, I didn't think they were equipped to go hang at that level at that time. And in that time, they've gotten one or two Heismans. I know Johnny Manziel.
One. Oh, but one Heisman, one overall, you know, or two number one overall.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Von Miller was not number one overall. He was two. But still, you had Miles Garrett go number one. You've got Von Miller, who went number two. You've got Johnny Manziel, who won a Heisman. You know, Kyler Murray started his career there.
Yeah.
He was recruited by Kevin Sumlin and then left when Sumlin got fired at the end of his freshman year. Like, they've had some serious talent walk through the doors there.
And that was the other thing.
Mike Evans, I mean.
Yeah, I knew Kevin Sumlin, but I knew him as the head coach at Houston. And then they got that job up there. And then at the same time, I think it was almost the same year, That's when they switched to the SEC. I thought, well, that is a tall order. Well, and again, they did just fine.
You know, and Jimbo didn't inherit the tight. It was a good program that Jimbo inherited, but it was the spread offense, and Jimbo doesn't run the spread. He runs the pro style offense. So now that he's getting his players in there, it's just a loaded division.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel bad for Arkansas.
It's like they got no chance.
They have no chance with Sam Powell.
You're staying down at the bottom.
His name is.
No doubt. All right. Hey, we're late. That was an intriguing segment. It is the 4 o'clock hour. We're halfway through the show on a hump day Wednesday. We're going to have some fun with Bobby Bonilla in the 4 o'clock hour. It's his payday. Still getting paid. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.